All right, welcome to Stake Podcast, the student edition, with the gentleman, Mr.
Joshua Lefleur.
Also, Mr. Joshua Lefleur, we are honored to have you here and grateful to have you on our podcast today. But we can't also wait to just learn from you and dwell and just dip from that well of wisdom. Mr. Joshua, kindly introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and what you studied.
Okay, so my name is Joshua Lefleur. I am honored to be present at your podcast. It's a real honor for me sitting here today. What I've studied my BA degree in psychology, which was for 3 years. Right, and then thereafter I did my PGCE, which was for 1 year. I'm currently living in Bonteville, and I am 24 years old.
Awesome. Viewers, you have heard it. He's not only a man with one belt, but with two belts. just for the benefit of the listeners, what is a PGCE?
It's called the PGCE.
Oh, yeah, pardon me.
So PGCE is a postgraduate certificate in education, right? You can only study this certificate if you have previously studied for a degree. So the degree enables you to study for your PGCE, which is only 1 year.
Awesome. I think we will get to the part of the postgrad sometime in the podcast. Kindly take us through your journey into studying BA psychology. What sparked the interest for you to study that course?
So honestly speaking, I was never interested in studying my BA degree, right? I applied for my law degree.
Yeah.
And I was never accepted for my law degree because of my points, which was little at the time. Therefore, I was accepted for my PA degree.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to become a lawyer. You know, back then you're young and, you know, you get this dress up career day at school. You know, grade seven, you get this dress up career day at school.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I want to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I'm dressing like a lawyer. I have my suitcase with me and everything. And little did I know that that was my plan for my life.
Yeah.
But we are reminded that God's plans,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You know, our plan is not His plan.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I was never interested in studying that. It was just to get something behind my name, honestly speaking.
So basically, in this case, BA was not your choice, but it chose you.
Definitely, sir.
You just spoke about point systems to qualify for that, for law and stuff like that. Could you kindly take us through the point system, how they work from matric to varsity in order for one to qualify for BA in psychology?
Okay, so you have to pass with a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
You know, from your matric, doing matric, right? You need to get a certain amount of credits or a certain code within a specific subject.
Yes.
So let's say, for example, you get a code 3 for English, right? And you get a code 4 for a certain subject.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is they add all these points up and you need to get a certain amount of credits that will then enable you to get into varsity. That's how the point system works at university.
Awesome. And at which university did you do that course?
I was at the University of Western Cape in Bellville.
Awesome. The University of the Western Cape in Bellville. Take us through the structure of the course that you studied, right? Obviously, you started off by stating that psychology chose you. And now what I want to know is, how's the structure like in terms of subjects and stuff like that? And how did you manage it? Because in fact, it chose you. It wasn't your first, it wasn't your preferred choice initially.
Okay, so with regards to the structure of the course, right? It's obviously a BA degree in psychology.
Yeah.
So meaning you're going to have to take subjects or modules, as they say, that is linked to psychology, right? And so what I did was I took English as a subject, right? I had geography as a module as well. And then further, I think my third year, I went over to anthropology. Yes, anthropology, that's the study of the human.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, that's basically how it worked. And I'm just thinking currently about what took place while I was studying my BA degree, which I would love to share.
Yeah.
So I did this module, it's called GES.
Yeah.
On university, it's a geography module.
Yes.
So so I did it and I failed the first year. And I failed the subject, I failed the module.
Yes.
And you obviously get what is called a supplementary exam.
Yeah.
Right? So a supplementary exam gives you another chance to do the model.
Mm-hmm.
I failed that too. And we went on, and then the second year came and I needed to drop a certain subject. I was like, okay, I'm dropping English because there's a lot of reading to do.
Yes.
Right? Short stories, poems that you need to write and do. And thereafter, I did what was my GES, my model, right? Because I failed it last year, so I needed to redo it, obviously.
Yes.
And I did it, failed again.
Snap.
Did a supplementary again. And I was like, yo, I can't get over this model.
Yeah.
And I failed it again the second year.
Yes.
The third year came, the last year of my BA degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I failed it twice again. And then the third time, I actually went into the office and asked, like, you know, what can I do to solve this problem? Because now I'm only failing with 1%. What can you guys do? 1% is keeping me away from getting a BA degree qualification or certificate in that matter. And they were like, no, it's fine. You know, they will sort it out for me. And what happened was they sorted it out for me, and yeah, I got my BA degree, and I was happy at the point, at the time, you know. And what happened was this, while I was studying, it was in a very tough time, you know, we needed to suffer from COVID, like, you know,
100%.
The pandemic and things like that. So when it came to graduation, we didn't really have a graduation.
Ooh.
We just needed to go into university, go fetch your certificate, take a few photos on the green grass and come back. That was it.
Oh, wow. That was really a very turbulent journey you've had so far. I love the fact that you keep on mentioning that you struggled, but you kept on pushing. Kindly talk us through those struggles. How did you overcome it? I mean, experiencing failure. There's some students who fail and they just give up. They feel that they're unworthy. But for you, you didn't give up. You went on.
Yes, yes.
What was the motivating factor that kept you going without just saying, enough, I'm going to leave this completely and probably go to another course?
It's the end goal. Mm-hmm. The end goal is very important. The vision.
Yeah.
Right, you know, the vision in my mind, you know, I knew that, okay, this is not what I would like to do.
Yes.
Or, you know, become one day, but I knew that this qualification would open more doors of opportunities for me. So it was basically my tenacity that kept me going. You know, my momentum my support structure as well. And the praise from family members, from close relatives, friends, that kept me going. And I thank God that I completed 3 years of doing my BA degree.
Yeah.
And also when doing your assessments and coming back to the structure of the course, when doing your assessments, right, there's a certain amount of plagiarism. It's called the plagiarism index.
Yeah.
That you can't go over.
Yes.
You know your percentage. And and that's what I always aimed for, like, you know, nailing things. Mm-hmm. And what subject that, or what module that really sparked my interest and that really opened my mind of thinking, my perspectives, you know, and not limiting my growth, but expanding, enhancing my growth was the model ethics. It's called ethics. You know, it's about religion and world perspectives and things like that. So that was a subject that really broadened my understanding about the world and growth.
And growth. Awesome. So, awesome. Your community and your end goal really pushed you in this case.
Correct.
And let's talk about psychology itself. You say you studied BA psychology, but I've heard people say, I'm studying industrial psychology, I'm studying social psychology, I'm studying criminal psychology. What are the different psychology courses that are being offered that you are aware of at the University of the Western Cape? Or can you just put a bit of an emphasis on the differences, at least of those that you are well aware of?
Okay, so at the University of the Western Cape, the courses, the psychology courses that I am aware of, there is industrial psychology, right? And then you get what is called BA, your BA in psychology, right? It's not too different from one another.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So what you will learn in your BA degree in psychology is also what you will learn in industrial psychology, right? It all comes together. It's industrial psychology support, a specific part of psychology.
Yes.
Right? Just as you get clinical psychology, you know, so it's a part of psychology.
Okay.
But you're also going to learn that in your BA degree.
Awesome. 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 So the BA degree sort of, they intertwine either way, right?
Yes. Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Sir.
Okay. Okay. You've mentioned a subject that caught you by the neck. What are the other what are the other subjects that you reckon that a newbie should watch out for, or for anybody who plans to study psychology should just be mindful of?
I would say psychology in general. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah.
It's really a mindful, like, you know, it takes up much of your time.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. Mm. And you know, you need to prepare for tests, online tests.
Yeah.
And tests in general.
Yes.
As well, like physically going into the university and you know, doing tests. And the book that you're going to need, it's, if you're doing your first year, it's a very thick book, and you need to make notes of these things. You need to take part. You need to engage in lessons as well. So if you want to go study psychology, by all means, but it's going to work on your brain. Excuse the pun.
Okay. Awesome. You are an educator currently. Now let's speak about the transition from psychology into education, which you did in your postgrad. When did you realize that, okay, I need to go into education? At what point in your of your studies, or at what point during the course of your studies, did you decide that, okay, let me leap from this course to the other?
Okay, so after completing my BA degree, right, I said, okay, I am now done studying for a few years. And I gained a few working experience.
Yeah.
I did what was called a teach assistant program.
Okay.
At Cedar Primary School in my local area.
Cedar, okay. Sure.
Cedar Primary School in my local area.
Yeah.
And I would say that sparked the interest.
Yes.
You know, there is where I saw how children can love you unconditionally. And just every morning I would come to school and there would be children running to you, hugging you.
Yeah.
So where are you? How are you doing? That caught my attention. And then I was like, okay, let's see where this is going. And I did assessments. I prepared what is called SNAs. Hmm. SNA is basically a document for a child that needs to go to a school of skills.
Yes.
Right? So I prepared these things and there I could see what our kids are struggling with as well. You know, problems that they're struggling at home.
Yeah.
Diseases that they're struggling with, all of these type of things. And I typed it out and I'm like, what can I do to help this child?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to change this child's life or a child in general's life? Mm-hmm. And thereafter I was like, okay, the community, we're looking at the community. Our children comes from a lot of different backgrounds, different surroundings, different problems at home. You know, and as an educator, you need to deal with 35 to 37 different personalities every single day.
Whew.
So you can understand the amount of stress that I'm under.
Deep.
Yes. You need to deal with so much personalities. And what I always tell my learners every morning is that if there is anyone here that is struggling with something, any situation that you're coming from at home, anything.
Yeah.
I'm free to talk because I am not just here to teach you about life, about subjects per se. I'm here to teach you about how to grow from situations.
Yes.
How to strive for your goals. How to come out of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically what sparked the interest. And I always say that teaching is a calling. You are called to teach because there's a certain lack in that system. Or a certain lack in that community. So God calls you to serve.
Yeah.
God calls you to nurture. He calls you to grow in that specific field of study.
Awesome. I love that. It's more like you truly found your purpose within this, during the course of your studies. I'm trying to think of how to say this. You know, I've interviewed people in the past who are also post-grad and like you graduated last year, right? Finished and are working. They tend to say some comments you hear are like, oh, okay, what I studied and what I'm seeing in industry is not the same. It feels as if it's like a form of betrayal.
Correct.
Kindly take us through that. How would you compare what you've studied and what you've experienced on the field? Could you say that the university prepared you enough for working in the industry?
Okay, so honestly speaking, I would say it did not prepare me at all for what I'm currently doing.
Oh,
you know, what is taught at university and what is taught or what you are experiencing daily at your workplace is two totally different things.
Yes.
Right? What I mean by that is that university, they basically prepare you on how to prepare for a lesson, right?
Okay.
Lesson plans.
Yes.
This is what needs to be in your lesson plan, and that's about it, right? And basic certain classroom management skills that they teach you. But what you experience in reality is totally different from what you have learned. What I mean by that is the discipline that comes with it.
Yeah.
The structure of the school, you know, what is your roles as an educator?
Yeah.
What is the do's and don'ts? You know, what is your rights? Because I feel like teachers' rights has been taken completely away from them. You know, when the corporal punishment rule was taken away.
Yeah.
You know, teachers' rights was basically like, you know, a robber coming and stealing it. From them. This teacher made a statement at my school one day. She said that you 1 foot in the class and 1 foot in prison. And that's a very, very bold statement to make.
Yeah.
You know? So yes, that's basically what it is, what where I'm at currently.
So you've learned quite a lot on the field compared to really what you've received in varsity. It's quite an interesting thing because, I mean, I've heard many teachers complain about the unruly students, learners, right? And how it has just become uncontrollably.
Yes.
Which was going to be my next question, actually, but you've touched on that. Now, please take us through maybe a project that you have run successfully as an educator since you have started at the school. Are there things that you're doing apart from just teaching at school? Because you say that you've touched children and you feel that children, you can actually sense the love. Is there a particular project that you have embarked, that you're embarking in currently, that is not just related to just teaching English or teaching a particular subject?
I wouldn't say currently, but yeah. While studying though, what we did was we as educators from the university, we came together and we were then selected to go to certain schools, local schools in our areas.
Yeah.
And in the sense of giving back to these schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we went to plant vegetables, we went to plant seedlings at these schools. We went to paint the school's kitchen, you know, revamp. And what we gained from this experience was that it added to our e-portfolio marks, our teacher e-portfolio marks.
Okay.
And an e-portfolio is basically a portfolio about a teacher.
Yes.
You know, your lesson plans needs to be there, your observations needs to be there, your evaluations that the supervisor comes mark you on.
Yeah.
It needs to be in your e-portfolio. What did you do to give back to the community? What did you do to give back to a school that you were at? That needs to be in your portfolio. So it basically added to our marks in our e-portfolio.
How long do you fill in that e-portfolio? And how long do you go on an outing or on a project at a particular school?
Okay, so that was basically for a period of 3 weeks, I would say.
Okay.
3 weeks. Three weeks. 3 weeks.
Awesome. Now, what would you consider to be the biggest life lesson that you've learned both in your undergrad and your postgrad and also working as an educator?
I would say never give up. Ever give up. You know, we are caught in many different situations at home. We are looking at our communities as well. Our surroundings can have a negative influence on us. So what are we doing to kind of change our community? What are we doing to become that better person? What are we doing to change the people even in our community? You know, and not coming from a boastful perspective, but as I walk the streets in my community, going to school, walking to school, going to a friend, going to a relative, a lot of like learners would greet and say, sir, or even parents will recognize you as, you know, sir. And I always had this thing that I'm not one for titles, man. Like, just call me Joshua. really, it frustrated me because I needed to get used to the fact that I'm an educator now, you know, and things like that. I needed to get used to that. And I told kids, like, I don't call me that.
Yes.
You know, just call me by my name or things like that. So what I would say is go for your goals. You know, set goals. Set your plans. Yeah. Have plans in place. You know, and the most important thing to do when you are going towards a career is to pray. That's what I have this thing called persistent prayer.
Yeah.
consistently praying for something that you need to achieve, or you want to achieve one day. Mm. It's a scripture that says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what it means.
Sweet, 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 sweet. I love that. I love that. Have you got any words of advice to your younger self?
I just want to thank me. Yeah, honestly speaking, if I think back and how far I've grown now into the person that I am now, I could just say that it was the hand of God
that
carried me through every single part of my life. If I think back on a crucial area or specific part in my life where I thought that I was going to die, you know, and I was laying in hospital, and this nurse, she was singing a song. It's called "In the Shadow of Your Wings." Mm-hmm. I know I'm safe. In the shadow of your wings, I find rest, peace of mind. In the shadow of your wings. And what I did was I immediately went to my phone and I constantly listened to the song.
Yeah.
And I knew that God covers us under the shadow of his wings. You know, that is one of my favorite songs. And I knew that God, at that moment, at that time, I knew that my calling is much greater.
Yeah.
You know, there's a purpose. He has a purpose. He has a plan for you. Plans to prosper you.
Yeah.
And not to harm you. You know? And that's what I always tell friends, family members, you know, relatives. Or that's my take on life, man.
Okay.
God has plans for you, man. Plans to prosper you. You know? Not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future.
100%. 100%. I love that. What I'm getting, and I believe many the listeners also getting, have a course in life and have a backbone. For you, it has been your faith that has been keeping you going, and that's what you're advising your younger self to always remember: have something to rely on, have God to rely on. If you're religious, have a reason, have a greater course. So have you got any career plans and goals? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years or in the next 20 years?
So, honestly speaking, like I said previously, I would say that God orchestrates plans, you know. He's the author and perfecter of our faith.
Awesome.
You know, so I always have this idea in mind that people are run by timelines. You know, at this certain age, we need to achieve that specific goal.
Yeah, yeah.
At this certain age, we need to get married one day. At this certain age, we need to have kids. At this certain age, we need to have a house, a car one day. Mm. And I feel like, you know, life is not a timeline, you understand, where we need to be restricted or limited to an age, a number, you know. I'm just letting God do him at this specific time. And, you know, funny enough, based on the question that you asked, my parents will always ask me, when are you getting married and things like that? And I will always tell them, you will wait until thy kingdom come. So, yeah, man. Like, you know, there's really not any rush. I feel like there's no rush in life when it comes to achieving goals.
Yeah.
Achieving things one day, you know. When the time is right, Lord will make it happen.
Which is awesome. 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 I love it. Just take it easy. Take it easy.
Yes.
But gradually, you'll get there. Oh, so thank you so much, Joshua Lafleur. You have been a mouthful. It has been a great honor interviewing you here. You have been a blessing to us and to the listeners as well. We've really enjoyed listening to you and just dipping from the well of wisdom. And you poured out to us. And yet, the Ke Podcast, we are always encouraged. And we love it when we hear stories about people who have fallen and then pick themselves up and it is a very good, it's not a fairy tale, no, but it's a story of that inspires a lot of people. So we want to wish you nothing but the best in your future endeavors. And thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Peace.
Peace out.